Kathleen Selmans literally started her company Amplified Now in August 2020. In this short time since this recording, she's learned a ton about herself and the market at large. The main thing, video is incredibly important for small and large business owners. Not only are people more likely to watch videos because of being on social media more than usual, but the normal ways of building rapport with people aren't quite in vogue these days. Coffee, lunch, networking events, and many other close quarters type events are not happening. Video may just be the only option a business has to gain more business. But not just any video, it needs to be videos that talk about problems that you solve so that the viewer can put themselves in those shoes and relate to you and how you can help define and resolve those pains. If you'd like to reach out to Kathleen, find her website at amplifiednow.com and at Kathleen Selmans all over social media. Let's learn more about her journey now. With COVID and stuff, is it going all right?
Yeah, better. I mean, most people cannot say that. But I work online and people are, and I do video marketing. So, okay. People all of a sudden, like, video use has, like, I don't know, 10x'd or something like that in 2020. All the numbers on, like, the statistics are from 2017, and it's just like shot up. People are watching videos all the time, and they're understanding more the need to create videos. And we do videos for content marketing mm-hmm. for our clients. And so one of the things that we're noticing is that people are like, oh yeah, I need to do content marketing. And it's really hard to write 1,000 words, but it's not that hard to talk for 10 minutes,
right?
Stay on topic. So, we're finding, I'm excited because we want, you know, we're a brand new company. Mm-hmm. And it's feeling like we're on the right direction. People are like, oh yeah, no, that makes sense. I want to do that. And so that's feeling really good. We started in August. So,
oh, nice.
Very yeah. Cool. Really, really new.
Well, so let me ask you this. Cause I mean, I know enough about content marketing to be dangerous. I've had to like shoot from the hip and do it a lot myself. Like, why do you think that video just has gone through the roof in 2020? I have a theory, but I don't want to like spoil the answer. Why do you think that happened?
I think it's because people ran out of options. So if you were used to getting clients at a networking event or a chamber of commerce thing or paying for somebody's lunch or buying drinks or taking someone out to dinner, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you have no options for that.
Right.
Right. Because you don't want to get somebody else sick. And so you need, I think the pandemic was a kind of a leveling field for people who used to rely on their in-person charisma and now need to fall back on content. Mm-hmm. But also it really, when you don't have that as an option, when you don't have your expense account or whatever it was that helped people get to know you, you actually have to like figure out how to scale your authority, your expertise, your likability, the know, like, and trust factor of what you were doing in person. All of a sudden you realize it can scale to kind of the world at large. And we don't do viral anything because we work with people for whom an extra 5 to 10 clients changes their entire world.
Yeah.
And so what's been really cool is that people are able to make those connections at scale. You don't have to learn about all the different like top of funnel, middle of funnel, bottom of funnel. You just have to answer questions that people have in your sales process. And so we try to get our clients to think about the last really good sales conversation they had and recreate that.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. Well, So how did you decide to start up the company? So it's Amplified Now. That's the one we're still talking about. Okay.
Yep.
I don't know if you did another thing since the last time we talked, because you're a go-getter. So I'm like, okay, same thing. All right.
Yeah.
So how'd you decide to start that up, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, actually, it was an internal process that I was doing. I took the advice from a mentor who told me to go live all the time. And I was going live all the time, and live videos just don't have much in terms of like legs, right? So the most I was ever getting was 10 or maybe 15 people if I accidentally went live on my personal channel instead of my group.
Yeah.
And I was realizing like they were good. Not great, but what I was saying in them was stuff I wanted people to hear more than the 6 people that saw me the times I was going live. And so I was working with my contractor, and I was like, well, can we have a systematic process that pushes this video to all the different places? And so it took us months, but what we did was we created this process that worked so well for me that she started using it for herself. And then we realized like we have something in this process, because the strategy and the talking points are one thing, but the repurposability is the real like treasure there, where if you can talk for 10 minutes and have it live for 6 months, why wouldn't you? You
right.
know?
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense. You know, that's something that I struggled with early on in the business, and I think a lot of people do too, is the just thinking in terms of scalability. You know, we often fall into this trap, I guess, or maybe you never have, where, hey, we can do everything, right? And we don't stop and think, all right, well, there's only so much of me to go around. And, you know, what's a way that I can do something once and repurpose it multiple times? And I hate to say it, but that is something that I just realized fairly recently, that I need to be thinking about that. So, and you formed an entire business off of that. That's really cool. I didn't know that about you until I was today years old, Kathleen.
Yeah, it's neat. It's actually really neat, because you're right. There is only so much of you to go around. But if you think about any, and I hate this term, but I use it all the time because there's not a better one. But like, if you think of any of the like thought leaders, mm-hmm. I use Dave Ramsey as an example, not because I have any special affiliation for him, but because his entire philosophy could fit on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. That doesn't stop him. He is the king of repurposability. He has said the same thing 100,000 times. And the experts that I work with who are not at his level of national name recognition or whatever, think they have to keep coming up with new stuff all the time, where I would argue that most experts are solving problems. And so what you need to do is talk about the problem that you solve and get it in front of the person that has the problem, whether that's today or 6 months from now.
Yep. You know, he really is good at repurposing, because a lot of people, I mean, we're talking about the Christian financial counselor guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of people turn to him for financial advice or like what to do with money. And it's people I know for sure. Some of them aren't Christians, and it's like, okay, well, so he's repurposed this content for a different target audience, but he's still solving the same problems. And it's like, I didn't realize that until now, but he's like a household name.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. And it's not because he has anything new. He's got his baby steps. He has his philosophy down. And so many people say, okay, I understand your philosophy, and how does it apply to me?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about that, that kind of model, most of us fall into that model, where we just need to be telling people what we are solving and whether we can solve it for them. One of our clients is a salesperson, a sales expert, has a sales course on corporate sales. So like the course is usually sold to someone with like 20 seats or whatever, who have a huge sales team.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the selling points in his course is that it's not just a standalone course, but it's a, there's a monthly check-in with this coach. And every time I've sat in on them, it's okay, let's apply that idea to this particular situation. And like, it's every single time that it's like, okay, well, I need to know if this, and the answer is always the same process that's been laid out in the course. Yeah. And it's, and then they come back the next month and they say, wow, that's amazing. It totally worked. And it just shows you that knowledge doesn't matter, right? As much as we think it does. Whether you're hiring somebody for your finances or whatever, it doesn't matter how much they know. What matters is whether what they know can apply to you.
Okay. I think some people would take issue with that. I'm not one of them. I totally agree. It's the delivery of the message. And it's kind of like, you know, they say ideas are worthless. It's the execution that,
right. You know, not a Stephen King quote, like the ideas are as common as table salt.
Right. Exactly. It's like you can know a bunch of stuff, but if what you know doesn't appeal or doesn't resonate with the right person who's having that problem, it's like you've got a bunch of potential energy and you're not doing anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough love to hear that be said, but it's true. You know, and there's a lot of people that get frustrated about that. I've spent 25 years in my career accruing this knowledge, and blah, 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 blah. It's like, hey, yo, are you solving problems? I mean, if not, then
well, and so, you can't solve, like, right, like if you're a doctor, you spent what, 12 years of your life in training,
right.
But it doesn't mean you can fly an airplane. Like
right.
You can't solve every problem with your expertise. And exactly. So you get people, people get caught up on like, I don't have this certification, but I do know the 6 steps that people can take to solve this one problem. But so what I try to teach them is that it doesn't necessarily matter, and that content marketing is about why and not how. So when you are giving stuff away, and I'm using air quotes here on a podcast, sorry.
Okay.
But when you're giving stuff away in your content, it doesn't matter as long as you're not giving everything away, because people will still pay you for that packaged material that says, okay, well, if I follow these 6 steps in this order over 6 weeks or whatever, then I will have the same results.
Yep. I hear you. Well, what have been some of the big challenges you've overcome on your journey? And I know that, like you said, you just started this back in 2019, or you said August of last year?
Yeah, it was 2020, actually.
Okay, sorry, yeah. I'm still
one quarter under our belts, actually.
Oh my goodness. I'm doing that thing. I haven't had to write any checks yet, but I know I'm going to be like 2021, new year, right? And I'm doing that in my head. So as of just a few months ago, like, what are some of the major challenges you've overcome so far?
I actually think the challenge was getting to this point, because when I started marketing, people say, well, what's marketing? Well, whatever you want to pay me for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need a website, you need a sales funnel, you need a landing page, you need emails, you need this, 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 and this. But to your point earlier, I only want to do what I'm really good at.
Right.
So social media, optimal times for posting on social media, I'm not actually that good at that. I use robots and I trust their, you know, rubric that says this is a 4-star time to post. Fine.
Yep.
I don't think about it that much, but what I'm good at is content strategy. What are the things that you need to be talking about? Pulling those ideas out of people who are even the people that are not super comfortable on camera. We talk through their topic. We talk through the main points that they're going to talk about, and we make sure we know how they're going to end their conversation. And so we have it set up in a way that feels conversational, even when it's not. So I'm never on anybody else's videos except
yeah.
my own. But what they avoid, which to me is like the video version of the fear of a blank page,
mm-hmm.
where all of a sudden you've got that red light somewhere on your screen and you freeze and you don't know what to say. And then you get in your head, you've got to have your NPR voice or your TED stage presence.
Yeah.
And you don't really feel that relatable to someone who's looking to solve whatever problem that you solve. So with the interview style, we get away from that. We don't have any pacing around a big screen in their background or whatever. What we're doing is we're talking to the camera, to a person, thinking about the person who has the problem that they solve.
Okay. You know, I think back to some of the videos that I've seen, and the ones anymore that just look super top-notch and professional, it almost is a turnoff. You know, like, I look at that and I'm like, I don't think I could ever afford that person's services, or they're just made. They don't need me. They're way past where, you know, I relate more to people that are just, it's just like two people talking like this, right? I mean, this is not scripted. I don't know if the listeners are just like, this is totally scripted and they prepared. We didn't. Neither of us know going in. We've got some questions that we're going to get to, but other than that, it's like, hey, let's see what happens. Right. But I mean, people can connect a lot better when it's just one person talking about, like you said, a challenge that, oh, gee whiz, that's me. I'm having that challenge right now. And they know how to fix it. I'll give you some money in exchange for your knowledge. Hey. So you're giving me some really good ideas.
Thanks. Yeah. There is a place on YouTube and in videos in general for super produced content. Mm-hmm. I think when we see all that super produced content, it keeps us from hitting record in the first place. And that to me is the biggest problem.
Yeah. You got to get out there. You just got to get out there. And especially in the world of business ownership, it seems like the recurring theme is just do it, you know, and you just got to step out. Who cares if somebody else wants to take the time to polish it like that? It's like, they're not you. You're you. You're uniquely yourself. And the more you can get yourself, your name, your voice, your face out there, people will start recognizing you as that authority.
Mm-hmm. So, and then you can double down and triple down and spend a ton of money on production. But I don't think that's ever going to do you any good. I actually think that the opposite would be better, is if you hit record on a video and then never used that video, but mm-hmm. turned it into written content that is more, you know, you have this first draft that's 1,000 words, then you can add to it. I think that's a better use of your time, because then at least you're getting content out there.
Yeah.
And what you need to do is get yourself out on in content. You need to have, no matter the size of your company, you need to have that personal approach. Right. We've worked with some larger companies that just didn't feel like it would work, but it does, because what people are, at the end of the day, we're all doing business with people. Right. So it's not just the solos that can benefit from this, but definitely the solos can.
Yeah. I hear you there. Just being out there and being visible is absolutely worth it. You know, mm-hmm. And if there's somebody that needs help like that, then it's like, let's overcome the inertia and just get out there. Mm-hmm. So, well, as part of this journey, as part of building your business, have you learned anything about yourself personally? Like any kind of, I didn't know that about me, or some superpower or something that you've realized you have?
One of my downsides is I'm not very good at focusing. And so my word for the year is focus. I've never done a word for the year before, but this one really spoke to me. And one of my superpowers is strategy. And okay. So I can see where people are too close to their stuff mm-hmm. before, you know, so that they don't get to see where they could go. Right. And so I love talking strategy. Like, okay, if you just talk about these things, here's what your competitors are talking about. But they're not ranking very well. So if you just do it and you are consistent, then you can also get traffic that other people are getting. And so like pulling together competitive research and the questions that we ask for every brainstorming session that help us determine the direction that people can take their content. And then, you know, setting that, like planting content is like gardening. Content marketing is like gardening. You plant the seed, you don't get flowers right away. you have to plant the seed and let the seed do its thing in the soil and feed it and water it and whatever, and then reap the benefits later. And content to me is, it's not the way to get sales today, but it is the way to build a consistent lead engine in the next 6-12 months.
Okay. I like that analogy. It's like gardening. It's like gardening. Cause I mean, yeah, it brings to mind that you're not going to get an instant turnaround. Like, you're going to write a post, you're going to write a video, and then people are just going to start heaving gold bricks at your face to like, please come work with us. And it's like, that's rarely how it works. Maybe one person. Yeah, I know. Right. If only things were that easy. Well, I mean, the people that constantly get out there and consistently show up and deliver valuable content, they're the ones that people remember, you know. And, you know, talking about Dave Ramsey again, the reason why he's a household name isn't because he was a one and done, you know, I did my content, I did my thing, and just sit back and wait. Like, he's always out there. He's mm-hmm. always out there. I've been listening to that guy for, man, it's got to be at least 15 years. Cause I mean, he's been doing, he's the same guy that does the Crown Money Map stuff, right?
I don't know.
Okay. It might be a different program, but he's always talking about, you know, financial security and stability and getting out of debt and stuff like that. And you keep hearing that message, and then you realize that's a doable thing. I could do that, you know, and it's that content. Well, what do you wish someone had told you about entrepreneurship 5 years ago?
Ooh, 5 years ago.
Five years ago. Got to get in the Wayback Machine on this one, I'm sure.
I know, right? I think that at the beginning, niching down is terrifying, know? But I think that it's so powerful. And to your point earlier, just because you can do a lot of different things doesn't mean you should. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a lesson I'm still learning, because it's easy to get distracted by tactics. It's easy to hear someone made, you know, X amount of hundreds of thousands of dollars last year doing something that you're not doing and thinking you should probably do that too. But it's that, it to me, if you pick a direction and go, you will be so much farther in 5 years than if you try different things. Now, that's advice I didn't take, and I'm still here and I'm still making money and I'm still okay. But if you know what you like, and I would say even take StrengthsFinder to figure out, or what is it called now? Clifton Strengths, to figure out your top five strengths. I did this on a weekend retreat with some business friends, and I read somebody's report to her, and I said, you know, this, based on your top five strengths, you probably shouldn't lead a team. You probably need to think about your business in terms of how you can work autonomously. And she said, you know, that piece of advice may have saved her years of working against her strengths. So leaning into what you're good at, leaning into what you like, making sure you like the whole process. And I also think allowing yourself to decide who you're going to help, how you're going to help them, and what you're going to do first for 90 days. Set yourself up for quarterly success so that you don't spend 6 weeks on something and quit right before you start getting traction.
Okay. I'm curious about something. I want to get your input on this. So I've long been a subscriber to finding a niche and saying, okay, what am I uniquely good at? And just run as hard as you can in that direction. And, you know, eventually, yeah, you're not going to have any competition, because if everybody's running in a direction, even your closest competitors, after a while, they're going to be this geometry, right? If you're picturing that, the angles are so far apart that they're like, they're doing their own thing, you're doing your own thing, you're not in each other's spaces. I almost wonder if, because of COVID, if now people are afraid to find that niche, because I've met a few people that, you know, they were passionate about it, they had the drive, they found their niche, they were the best at what they did. And then the market for that particular skill, or that
niche
particular
was
problem,
like event planning or restaurant.
Yes.
Consulting or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it goes away, and it's like, well, shoot. Well, so then people probably think, well, now I got to diversify. I can't pick that niche, and maybe nothing's safe. So I got to pick two or three things, right? Like, what do you think that people have maybe a mental block to picking a niche these days, or is that just a me
it's
thing?
Okay, all right. Right? All right. Like, it's so terrifying. But if you think about, let's say you've decided 6 months ago to, well, okay, fine, 18 months ago to offer restaurant consulting services to very small restaurants. Mm-hmm. Well, had you done that, your business would not have imploded if you were able to pivot into helping small businesses avoid the Grubhub tax or something like that, right? So if you can help, it just really depends on who you want to help. And it's, I also think that, like, we get too wrapped up in, like, let's paint a picture of this person. My ideal client wears Cole Haan shoes and uses Apple products and shops at, you know, whatever it is. That's not necessarily how you should niche down. Right.
Right.
I like working with experts. And so for people who are building their business around the knowledge in their heads, they're subject matter experts, they're thought leaders, they're consultants and coaches and entrepreneurs who are, you know, maybe they're accountants or they're experts in their field who ended up in business and didn't want to end up in the marketing business, which is what happens to a lot of small companies, is when they get, you know, you finish your CFP designation and all of a sudden it's like, okay, I'm ready to hang my shingle, and there's crickets.
Yeah.
You didn't realize that you were signing up to write and create video content and do all this other stuff. And those are the people that I want to help, because getting those people more leads means they can spend more time doing what they're best at.
Nice. Well, how would those people find you? I know you have a website. I know the answer, but, like, how would they find you?
My name is Kathleen Selmans, which is easily brandable but hard to spell. So my Twitter handle and all of my handles are at Kathleen Selmans, which is Selmins. And the other day I spelled that for someone and it still ended up on a piece of paper. Salmans, yeah. Which I thought was very funny. but also amplifiednow.com is my website. We don't have all the social handles are not all Amplified Now. I think Instagram it's Amplified_now, and on Twitter it's @YouAmplifiedNow. It was harder to brand that than it was to brand a unique last name.
yeah I've got one of those last names myself. You should see the different permutations, you know, and the pronunciations too is wild, you know.
Yeah.
So, well, cool. Yep. Well, I hope that people reach out to you.
Yeah,
I know better now, like, what you do, and I mean, we've been getting to know each other for a few months now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just hearing, like, okay, what your focus is, how you help, why it works, is tremendous. And I've learned some things just from this episode. One of the things I've learned is I got to get a little bit clearer on how we help people, you know, and kind of breaking down, like, particular problems that I've personally solved, or me and my business partner Alex, we've solved over the last year, is something we need to do. So we got some homework. Great. I got some more stuff to add to my to-do list, but I love videos anyway, so I'll just bang them out.
Yep. Not how, but the pain points.
Okay.
So not how you solve them, because it doesn't, the how is hopefully book a call, right?
Okay.
But instead of that, it's, here's a problem. Here's how painful it is. If it's if it's an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10, people are going to reach out to you.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. I guess there's power in just defining what it is. You know, people, especially people in companies, they're like, they're just aware of a pain, just a dull ache. And they don't really know how to define it. Like, it's like if you were to go to the doctor and be like, I feel crappy. Well, where? I don't know. I just don't feel right. It's like, that doesn't help. Like, the doctor, you know, 12 years of training, it's like, bud, you got to give me more to go on here. Like, does it hurt here, 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 where, you know? If you can define that pain for people and they're like, oh, wow, that's me. Wow, I need to call this person. That's cool. And you can do that for people. That's neat.
It's so fun. And it does. It's the kind of thing that those videos are connection that scales. So yeah. When somebody can see themselves in your story, then they think that you understand them, which you do.
Yes.
And then they are, what I like about videos, it helps with that first part of the sales process. So they're already primed. Once they book a call with you, they've watched a couple of videos and they're primed to connect in a way that they weren't if you didn't have any videos.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah, I can tell you're having fun. You've been smiling practically the whole time during this interview. Yeah. I know it's not my charismatic personality. It's just you freaking love what you do. So, well, I will let you get back to your nice quiet day at home there. And I hope that things go well for you. I hope 2021 is an awesome year for business.
You too.
And yeah, I hope so. I hope so, because 2020 sucked. So, but we'll get there. We'll get there. We're nothing if not tough. So it was a pleasure talking with you, Miss Kathleen. I wish you all the best. All right.
You too. Thank you.
Right, take care.
Talk Bye-bye. Soon. Bye. Yeah.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.